Well, good evening, and praise God for this opportunity to open up God's Word together. Before I start, I just want to thank all of you for all the prayers and thoughts the last few months for my mom and our family, and all the love that's been poured out. Praise God for this chapel. I love you all very much. Praise the Lord for this chapel. We'll turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, one of my favorite stories in all of the New Testament. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and remember while you're turning there, Acts chapter 1 is Jesus' ascension, and Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. Finally, here in Acts chapter 3, if you're there now it's Peter and John, freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're out and about in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1, if that's okay tonight. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The Beautiful gate. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray this evening that we might enter your temple through the Beautiful gate. Through the Beautiful gate. Lift us up tonight, Lord, so that we might rise and walk and leap and praise you, not in our own power, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, tonight I want to consider the Beautiful gate. The Beautiful gate. Don't you love this story? The Beautiful gate. Here in Acts chapter 3, the Beautiful gate. And I pray tonight more than anything else that this story would just come alive for all of you. That it would just come alive. I want you to see and feel everything that's going on in this story tonight. I want you to leap out of your pews like a herd of deer, figuratively speaking, not literally speaking. Good song choice, by the way, buddy. Thank you. I read the other day that a white-tailed deer, an American white-tailed deer, can jump over 8 feet high. Did you hear it? Did you know that? 8 feet high. I want you to see this story in your mind's eye. I want you to picture every detail. I want you to feel every emotion, weeping with those that weep, as Paul commands us in Romans, rejoicing with those that rejoice. That's my prayer for tonight. How does that sound? Does that sound okay? Well, let me tell you the plan for the next 25 or 30 minutes. I want to try something new. I heard some groans there. It's new for me anyway. I want to try something new. I've been reading this wonderful book on interpreting the Bible by Peter Lightheart called Deep Exegesis, The Mystery of Reading Scripture. Deep Exegesis, Peter Lightheart. It's a very helpful book, and in it, he talks about the four senses of Scripture, the four senses of Scripture: literal, moral, allegorical, and anagogical. Literal, moral, allegorical, and anagogical. And the first is literal, or historical, the historical sense, and that's what happened. The second is moral, or he calls it tropological, but I can't pronounce that. Moral, what we are to do, what we are to do. The ethical lesson, how we should act now as the body of Christ, that's the second sense. The third sense is allegorical, or symbolic, or typological, he calls it. What we are to believe, that's the third sense, in light of Christ and what we know of his word. Finally, the fourth sense is anagogical, and I couldn't find any word that helped me on that one. Anagogical, what we are to hope for. What we are to hope for, that's the fourth sense. It's future events, our eternal life, heaven. Literal, moral, allegorical, and anagogical. And these senses aren't mutually exclusive by any means. This is very important. This is not either or. All four can be true of a passage. Four senses of Scripture. Have you got them memorized already? Four senses of Scripture: literal, moral, allegorical, and anagogical. If I've put you to sleep already, bear with me just a little bit longer, because I want to test it out on our story tonight, the beautiful gate. The beautiful gate. But first, I'm going to read this story again to you slowly. And feel free to close your eyes if that helps you visualize what's going on better. I'm going to read it to you slowly first. And I want each of you to listen from a different perspective. I want you to listen from a different perspective. Keep your eyes open for just one more second here. Let me see if I can split you up into four groups. That's the new thing. I'm going to split you up into four groups. And I thought I might have a couple people there and there to split us up naturally, but I didn't, so I'm going to split it up the way I feel like it. So let me split you up into four groups. Let me just start with Joe and Stedmore. You're going to be group one. No pressure. You'll be group one. Don't start moving seats now. You'll be group one, and I want you to listen from a literal sense. A literal sense, a historical sense. What happened? So listen to the story, listen to the facts, listen to the places, the people, the times, the sequence of events. You're the literal group, Stedmore and Joe. The next four of you, you know who you are. You can be group number two. The pressure only increases here. Group number two. I want you to listen from a moral sense, an ethical sense. He called it typological, but I like moral better. This is what we are to do. Listen to the story in terms of what we are to do. What does the story teach? How should we act now as the body of Christ? Group two, you're tropological. Tropological or moral. Okay? Group three, I'm going to take everybody here. We're going to spend a lot of time on group three. I'm going to take everybody here until Jimmy and Lisa. Jimmy and Lisa, you'll be group four, but group, you're smiling at me like you don't know why. Yes, and the kids can help. Yes. So this is a big group three. And I want you to listen to the story from an allegorical sense. An allegorical sense. What to believe in. And listen to the symbolism. Listen to the metaphor. What each thing or event might represent. in light of everything else we know from Scripture, group three. Make sense?
Go for it.
And then finally, Jim and Lisa, you'll be my group four. Group four, and I want you to listen from an anagogical sense. Anagogical sense. What we are to hope for. What we are to hope for, what this story might tell us about future events, heaven, our eternal life as believers. Anagogical. Okay? Anagogical. I just like saying anagogical. That's my new word for the week. Anagogical. Who said you can't teach a middle-aged dog new tricks? Everyone okay with that? Everyone remember what sense? One more time. What happened? Group two. What we are to do. What we are to do. What we are to believe in. That's group three. What we are to hope for. We're getting off to a good start. Everyone ready? As my dad used to say when I was growing up, speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, your peace is forever held. The beautiful gate, listen closely to this. Feel free to close your eyes or read along with me. The beautiful gate. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The beautiful gate. Don't you love this story? The beautiful gate. Literal, moral, allegorical, anagogical. How'd you do? You got everything down? Buddy is shaking his hand. Yes. I'll pick on you later then. How'd you do? Well, let's start with literal. And I won't start off by picking on our literal group yet. I can see you're looking down at your Bibles. That's fine. That's a good place to look. Well, now, literal, this should be a very nice warm-up, because remember, this is the physician Luke writing the book of Acts. This is the physician Luke, and he specifically set out to write you an orderly account. An orderly account. Remember way back at Luke 1. An orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed, an orderly account. And so you have an orderly account here in Acts chapter 3 of the apostles Peter and John. This is an orderly account. Verse 1, going up to the temple at 3 p.m. for the third prayer of the day. Verse 3, encountering a certain lame beggar at the beautiful gate. Verse 6, praying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the lame man would rise up and walk. Verse 7, lifting him up by the right hand. Verse 8, watching the beggar leap up, stand, and walk, entering the temple together. Verse 9, praising God. Verse 10, seeing all those that had gathered recognize the man and fill with wonder. This is an orderly account. This is an orderly account, group 1 of Peter and John going, encountering, praying, lifting, watching, entering, praising, seeing with wonder. Don't you love all the gritty detail that you get in this story? Don't you love this eyewitness account from Luke, my group one, my literal group? It's the ninth hour, not just any old hour in this story. It's the ninth hour. It's the ankle bones. Don't you love that? It's the ankle bones. It's the ankle bones, not just any old bone. It's the beautiful gate, not just some gate at the temple. Don't you love these facts? What else did you see in this story, group one, Joe and Steadmore? People, places, events, times. There's so much here. He was lame from birth. That's right. He was carried daily. That means every day, 7 days a week. Well, there's so much here, but tell me, literal folks, and maybe some other folks that may have heard some literal things while I was reading the story, the more data you take in from this story, the more that you want to know. Isn't that right? The more data that you take in, the more information that you get from Luke, the more that you want to take in, particularly from that beggar's perspective. This story, remember, is written from Peter and John's perspective, from the apostles' perspective. You want to hear from the beggar, don't you? What was his name, for starters? What was the beggar's name? And who were these assistants that carried him up to the beautiful gate? And did they carry him daily out of pure love? Or did they get a cut of the money at the end of the day? And did this lame guy really sit there begging daily, like every day? Because it says he's over 40 years old over in Acts chapter 4, 422. If you want to turn over there, look over there. Chapter 4, just over a page. 422. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle healing had been performed. Over 40 years old, maybe about my age. Over 40 years old. So I calculated this lame beggar may have come to the beautiful gate, get this, 15,000 times over his lifetime. He may have come to this beautiful gate 15,000 times. It's 40 years old, 365 days a year, rain or shine. Does he wake up at the crack of dawn every single morning, every day, and his guys are there to carry him every morning? Every morning. And how did that lame beggar, did you want to know this? How did that lame beggar get that spot every morning? How did he get that prime real estate at the temple gate every morning? And how did that lame beggar feel? What were his emotions when he heard Peter tell him that he didn't have any money? What was the lame beggar thinking? In between the lines of your Bible, what was he thinking, group one? In between the lines of your Bible here, what was that beggar thinking? Disappointed. Thanks for nothing. There he goes, another one of those guys through the temple gate. And how did he feel? How did our beggar feel when Peter started fixing his eyes on him, saying, look at us, look at us. That's kind of strange. Look at us. But it's exactly the same 11 chapters later in chapter 14. Turn over there. Chapter 14, Acts chapter 14. Only this time, remember, it's not Peter and John. It's Paul and Barnabas. Turn there for a second. Keep your thumb squarely on Acts 3. But Acts 14 and verse 8. Listen to this. And in Lystra, a certain man, this starting at verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, This is not the same story. This is 11 chapters later. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. How'd that feel, literal group? How'd that feel, Steadmore and Joe? Feels like we just scratched the surface, didn't it? Yeah, it just feels like we scratched the surface of what happened. What happened in this story at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2,000 years ago, in Jerusalem, at the beautiful gate, outside the temple, before the third prayer of the day. We could keep going on this one. But I just want to say one more thing for everybody here, and not just group one, but for those of you who, like me, who sometimes skim over the stories in the Bible. Do we have any story skimmers? Some of you skim over the stories in the Bible just to get to the point, just to get to the application, the lesson, the bottom line. Anyone else guilty of doing that? Do you do that? Do you skim over those stories sometimes? Well, stop doing that. Stop doing that and start marinating in those words. Start marinating in the text. Each verse, slow down and soak it in. God gave you the whole Bible to read, so read it. Every word is important, group one and all the other groups. Let me get off my soapbox, and I'm getting to group two. The four of you, use guys back in the corner. Group two, are you ready, moral group? Or what was it? Tropological. Okay, so you get the drill. What we are to do, how we should act as the body of Christ. Remember Greg talked about being doers of the word, not just hearers. What we are to do. Well, let me offer up a couple ideas. I'm going to get you started. A couple things that really leap out here. A couple things that leap out, and then I'll ask you for some. Well, first, I hope everybody in group two and all the groups saw and heard in this story our Great Commission. Did you see that? Did you see our Great Commission? Sharing Christ? Did you see that? Did you see evangelism? Did you see witnessing in this story? Because when I read this story, I know it's the apostles Peter and John in this story in Jerusalem. But I always picture somebody more like Paul and Diego, our Paul and our Diego, somewhere in Belmar going door to door, just two brothers sharing their love of the Lord. Just two brothers sharing the love of the Lord. I know it's Peter and John here in our story tonight at the beautiful gate. But when I read this story, I see Jimmy up on the boardwalk, sharing tracks and his love of Jesus. I see Jerry and Marilyn singing gospel duets somewhere between Neptune and Nepal. Can you see them in this story? I see, who else should I pick on? I see Phil and Marilyn somewhere between South America and South Africa and South Belmar, South Amboy. Have you witnessed in South Amboy? And I certainly see Mom. I see Carol, wherever you are, at the post office, the bank, then to Ferguson's Plumbing House, then back to the bank. Mom, I never know where you are, but wherever you are, I know that you're sharing your love of Jesus, wherever you are. I know that, and I love it. Share the good news. Share the good news. Are you sharing your faith? Group two. Are you sharing your faith, brothers and sisters? First in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, then South Belmar. If that's a place, is that a place? It is now a place in South Belmar and Long Branch. And South Long Branch, are you sharing the good news? And this story even tells us how to witness. I'm going to give you one more, then it's your turn. This story even tells you how to witness. How to witness. You want to help me with this one? Make a personal connection. Praise the Lord. You're exactly right. Make a personal connection. Both in chapter 1 and chapter 14, this, the same thing you saw, that personal connection when you're witnessing. Let me start with the first one. We are to witness in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in his name. Did everybody get that? Did everybody get that from this story? The name of Jesus. Did everyone hear that? We are to witness in the name of Jesus Christ, in his name. Like this story is saying to me, the story is telling Brooks here, you don't need to chew the fat. You don't need to shoot the breeze. You don't need to run your trap. You don't need to wag your chin. You don't need to tickle ears. You don't need to spin yarns. You don't need to do that. And Brooks, and anyone else who's like me, you definitely don't need all the holy-sounding, apologetic, jibber-jabber, yimmer-yammer, yakety-yak, because all power is in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus, in his name. Does somebody need to hear that tonight? In his name. Listen to what Jesus told Peter and John not long ago in John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. My name, I will do it. In my name. What else does this story tell us about how to witness? Group two, how to witness. Make a personal connection. Look at me, Peter says. That's a great one, Dan. What else does our story say about how to witness? Here's an easy one. If you're shy at witnessing, find a brother to go with. This is Peter and John. They're out witnessing together. Find a brother to go with. If you're shy at witnessing, oh. He was very expected. Look at me. Praise the Lord. We got a good group too over here. Praise the Lord. Well, let me give you one more here. You need to witness outside the gates. This story is telling us you need to witness outside the gates. Outside the gates, because that's where the lost are to be found. Outside the gates. Don't just stroll on into the temple. You need to get outside these four walls. You need to get outside your cul-de-sac. You need to get outside your comfort zone where the lost are to be found, folks. Outside those gates. There's so much here. Thanks, Mom. Thank you, Group 2. What else does this story tell us? Yeah.
And how many times do I definitely not touch them? They look dirty. And they did those two things. They looked at him, they spoke to him, right. And they touched him. They held his hand and covered him up. And just those things.
The personal connection.
The power of the name of Christ right there.
In Christ's name. Well, let me build right on that. And this is convicting, but I think this story tells us we are to minister to the poor and needy. I think it's telling us Christ followers, we are to minister to the poor and needy. When I read this story, and maybe this is where Jimmy was going to, when I read this story, I can't help but go back to Luke 16. You don't have to turn there, but listen to the echoes in our story. Luke 16, remember, is the parable of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. Listen to the echoes here. And I'm going to start at verse 19 in Luke 16. There was a certain man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. A beggar laid at the gate. Doesn't that sound familiar? A beggar laid at the gate. A rich man clothed in purple. I wore my purple tie, Dad, just to remind myself who I am in this story. A rich man clothed in purple. We've got a treasure to share, brothers and sisters. We have a treasure to share, a gospel treasure. Are you sharing? Group 3, I have not forgotten about you. And I haven't forgotten about Group 4 either, though Jimmy skipped out here. We'll cover Group 3 fast and see if we can get them coming back in. Group 3, this is the allegorical sense. Remember, this is the allegorical sense, what we are to believe in. This is the symbolism, what each person or thing or event might represent in the story in light of what we know of Christ. You're the allegorical sense. And someone in Group 3 is just dying to tell us what the beautiful gate pictures for us tonight. The beautiful gate, in some ways the entire story is about the beautiful gate. The entire book of Acts is about the beautiful gate. The entire New Testament is about the beautiful gate. Do you need more hints here? The entire Bible is about the beautiful gate because Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the beautiful gate. Jesus is the beautiful gate. Back to John in chapter 10, who remembers this? Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the beautiful gate, Group 3. The beautiful gate. The beautiful gate. And isn't it so poignant? Mom was talking about this just a couple minutes ago, that this lame, unnamed beggar was sitting right at the gate, for over 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. Sitting at the beautiful gate for 40 years in a desperate state, sitting at the beautiful gate but never entering in. Do you know anyone like that? Any unsaved loved ones sitting at the gate? Do you know anyone like that? I sat at that gate for a long time, not quite 40 years, but close. Dad, you sat at that gate for a while. I remember that. You were at that gate right at the gate for a long time. What a picture of all of us before we were saved. A picture of our desperate condition. The lame beggar's physical condition. I'm helping you out here, group three. The lame beggar's, keep going. The lame beggar's physical condition. Picturing our spiritual condition, our hopelessness, our helplessness apart from Christ. Our original sin. Who said this? Sedmore said this. We didn't just pick up some bad habits along the way, though we may have done that too. We're lame from our mother's womb. It says in verse 2, we are lame from our mother's womb. And I love how Psalm 51 puts it. Listen, verse 5, Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Our desperate condition, it's not just from birth. It's all the way from conception. We are lame from our mother's womb. What else, group three? My allegorical group. I'm going to keep going. Little silver and gold. Praise God.
We have to look for something we believe in. And I'm thinking of Peter and John. They don't have any money, but they do believe that in the name of Jesus they can heal this man. And that's an awful lot of believing in the power of God.
Why did they believe that? They just heard it. They just heard it back in John. Praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about the unnamed. I mentioned the unnamed characters. Don't you love stories with unnamed characters, by the way? In the New Testament, there's a lot of unnamed characters, group three, in the New Testament. The certain rich man, which I just read in Luke 16. Lazarus was named in that story, by the way. The beggar was named. The rich man was not named in Luke 16. The leper, the centurion, the two demon-possessed men, the two blind men. I'm just talking about unnamed characters in the New Testament. The two thieves on the cross, they're unnamed. Stop for just a second, group three, and think of all the unnamed characters in the Bible. There are a lot of them. There are a lot of unnamed characters in the Bible. And I don't think it's because God just couldn't remember their names. It's not because God couldn't remember their names. I think he made them unnamed so that you, the reader of the Bible, could see yourself in those stories. You're in the story, group three. You're in the story. Unnamed. You're in the story. Anyone else see yourself as one of the unnamed in the New Testament? A certain man, it says in verse 2. Isn't that great? A certain man, don't know what his name is, fill in the blank. For all we know, it might have been Lazarus again. That seemed to be pretty common. And his name might have been Buddy. And his name might have been Phil. You're not in group three, but it might have been Doug too. It might have been Joe. Could that certain man have been you? Could that certain man have been you, lame from birth, laid aside by the world, hopeless apart from Christ? Do you remember who you were? Do you remember who you were before you were born again? Do you remember who you were before you were born again? Do you remember the old man before Christ made you new? Was this certain man you before you were saved? Who remembers the day that you were saved? Who in group three remember? Yeah, you remember the day that you were saved. Some of you know the date, the time, the place, what you were wearing, what you had for breakfast that morning. Mom shaking her head there. What the score of the Yankees game was that day? I don't think you remember that. Joe might remember that one. What the score of the Yankees game was that day. Do you remember the moment that your lame, lifeless body was filled by the Holy Spirit? Our rebirth, born again in Christ, feet, ankle bones. Those were born again too. Body, soul, saved. Saved. Saved in the name of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 6 here, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Did someone pray that for you before you were saved? Did somebody pray that for you? Rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Did someone pray that for you? Till you turn from your sin and you turn to our Savior and prayed something like Psalm 118. Starting in verse 19, if you want to pray that with me tonight. Psalm 118, starting in verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Lord Jesus, open to me that beautiful gate. And I will go through them. Does someone need to pray this with me tonight? I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? That day of rejoicing. Who remembers that day? That day of rejoicing. Well, speaking of rejoicing, it's your turn now. Group four. Actually, I was going to come back to the silver and gold, Janet. I want to come back to the silver and gold because I think that's extremely... I'll get back to you in a second, group four. The silver and gold, you talked about that. That is so important. And I think that's actually a review for all of the groups. Were you wondering why Peter and John didn't give the beggar silver and gold? Were you wondering that? What would you say, group one? Why didn't Peter give the beggar silver and gold? Group one.
They had more than silver and gold. They had the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're the literal group. You're the literal group. He didn't have any money. He had no money, so he couldn't give any money. I'll get to that in a second. He didn't have any money, group one. That's the literal group. He did not have money. He said, silver and gold I do not have. He didn't have silver and gold to give. Peter was broke. But Peter knew, and this story teaches group two, we are to share what we do have. We're to share what we do have. That's group two. You're in group one. Stay in group one. Yeah, stay in group one. We're to share what we do have. Yes, because group three, you're trying to join group three now. Because group three, who has 1 Peter 1:18 memorized? Something better. You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you, Janet, for bringing that up. Yeah, good. That was good. Well, group four, I've left approximately 1.5 minutes for group four. Anagogical, what to hope for. I've been up here so long now that let me just quickly reread what we have to hope for. Verse 8, what we are to hope for. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising. Walking, leaping, and praising. When they entered the temple through the beautiful gate together, walking, leaping, praising. When we enter through that gate, walking, leaping, praising, can you hear the joy in heaven? Can you hear the joy in heaven? Group four, rejoice with me. Jesus says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Rejoice with me. We will rejoice through those gates. Walking, leaping, praising. Rejoice. Rejoice in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. For your God has come and saved you. For your God has come and saved you. Turn over to Isaiah 35, and we're going to close on Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, what we are to hope for, group four. What we are to hope for. Isaiah 35, what we are to hope for, starting at the end of verse 4, your God will come and save you. Isaiah 35, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then listen to this. Everyone, listen to this. Verse 6, then the lame shall leap like a deer. Are you leaping tonight? Are you leaping tonight? All groups, are you leaping tonight like a deer? I want you to leap like a deer tonight. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. What we have to hope for. And the ransom, verse 10, of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Are you singing tonight? Are you leaping and singing? Are you singing his praise tonight? Not like a deer. Not like a deer sings. But singing like Jerry and Marilyn in Nepal. Are you singing tonight with everlasting joy on their heads? Doesn't that sound wonderful? Tonight they shall obtain joy and gladness. And listen to what we have to hope for. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Flee from sorrow and sighing right now. Flee from sorrow and sighing right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk tonight. Rise up and walk and leap together through that beautiful gate tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here this evening, or anyone that we know who has been sitting at that gate for a long time now, waiting to enter into your temple, we pray that all might see the beauty of your Son, the beautiful gate. Let us all rise up and walk and leap like deer tonight. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.